Well, we are in a sermon series called A Virtuous Life, and a lot of people ask me the question, you know, why does the church exist? And we've answered it this way. This church exists because the world needs more people who live like Jesus. And so from time to time, and more often than not, we like to do series just describing how Jesus lived his life. And Jesus certainly lived a virtuous life. And so we have come up with a number of these virtues. Honor, we looked at the first week. Purity, we looked at last week. And then this week, I want to look at the virtue of loyalty. And, you know, it's difficult, I think, to talk on the theme of loyalty, because if I took a poll of this room, if I asked the question, how many of you would consider yourself a loyal person? Chances are that most everybody in the room would say, well, that's me. I'm a loyal person, and I had to reflect upon my life, and I was recognizing, well, yeah, I'm a pretty loyal person. Like, I'm basically loyal, you know, family first, and I like to be there for my friends, and, you know, I stick by people. I'm loyal, you know, and I promote that about myself, you know. I'm a loyal person, and it feels good to say that, but it's difficult to talk on the theme of loyalty, because I think most of us feel that way, and so it's like, oh, this message isn't for me. This is for all the people around me need to hear this, you know, so that they could be more loyal to me. But here's the catch. Disloyalty, the opposite, of course, of loyalty, is a difficult thing to see in the mirror. We might think that we are loyal, but do our actions actually back up our words? Disloyalty is a very difficult thing to see in yourself. I was thinking about one particular instance that really jumps out from the scriptures about disloyalty, and that's Matthew chapter 26, where it's before Jesus is going to go to the cross, and he's explaining this to his disciples, and they're all confused. And Peter is predicting how he is going to respond to what happens to Jesus. And he says this, Peter replies, even if I fall away, even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. Truly I tell you, Jesus answered, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. But Peter declared, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And all the other disciples said the same. I think a lot of times we like to beat up on Peter, you know, because he's the one that said it, right? But here it says, I mean, all the other disciples said the same, and they all ran away that night. Peter did have the guts to show up on site, but then did deny Jesus three different times, saying, I don't even know the man, didn't even want to be associated with him in the time of his greatest pain. And it says that Peter wept bitterly in response to that. It's one thing to profess loyalty. It's another thing to prove it and to live it out with your actions. I was reminded of a situation that happened. Actually, we're heading to Hawaii for vacation next week. It's our last vacation with our son Josiah in the house, and so we decided to splurge and go big this year because it's his last hurrah before we give him the boot, kick him out of the house. You're on your own, buddy. But speaking of Josiah being on his own, I was recalling this story from the last time we went to Hawaii with some friends of ours several years ago. And Josiah, I think, was around 13, 14 maybe at that time, and we were all snorkeling in this bay. And Josiah's friend Lachlan McGregor, who many of you know, was there, and they were swimming together off in the distance. And I was swimming some distance away, and all of a sudden I hear this screaming. And I look up, and Josiah's got this bloody nose. And you know, when you're snorkeling in Hawaii, right, everybody in the back of their mind, I don't care, you know, you're thinking of Bruce the shark, you know, from Finding Nemo. You're thinking, at any given time, there could be a shark swimming through the reef and we're all going to have to swim for our lives. Well, when there's blood in the water, like all of a sudden that visual just jumps up there. And so Lachlan sees this, and Lachlan was a swimmer, and Lachlan just tears off. I mean, he is swimming for the shore as fast as he can go. Josiah's just kind of looking around like, what's going on? And everybody's like,
look, and he's bleeding. And everybody's just gone. There's Josiah in the middle. And there goes loyalty with everybody who took off. But loyalty is defined this way, and this is just a Merriam-Webster definition. I think it's helpful to get a definition when we're doing a topical study like this. But it's the strong feeling of support or allegiance, the exact opposite of what Josiah felt that day. But for our purposes this morning, loyalty is, and I think that this definition really brings this out, because it's in the context of relationships that we experience loyalty. It's in the context of friendship in which we experience it. And so, for our purposes, loyalty this morning is this: being the friend that you want by your side. That's how I wanted to define it. Being the friend that you want by your side. And again, as we look at all these things, we would say, well, I'm basically a loyal person. Well, let's put that to the test. Are you being the friend that you want by your side? Proverbs 3, verse 3 through 4, this is a great text that kind of summarizes everything that we want to talk about this morning. This is what the man of wisdom who wrote Proverbs, most likely Solomon, said. Never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. Then you will find favor with both God and people, and you will earn a good reputation. So never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Write them deep in your heart. Tie them around your neck. So here's some descriptions of loyalty, just so that we can dive a little bit deeper into this word and understand what it means. If we're to never let loyalty leave us, what does it mean to be loyal? I want to look at four things in particular. And the first one is just simply this: a loyal friend keeps in touch. A loyal friend keeps in touch. And we're starting out with the most simple, most basic idea of loyalty. I marvel at people who are able to do this well. I really do. People who still hang out with their high school friends, their college roommates, people who keep in touch with their friends over the years. It's really something special. Many of you in this room, you're a friend who does this. You keep in touch. You reach out. I think in some ways it's become easier to do that because of things like Facebook or whatnot, but I know that people like Garth, in fact, I think just this weekend you were hanging out with some old friends, and Corbett hangs out with all his college roommates, still has lunch with his college roommate who's a good friend of his and a pastor. And you know, I marvel at people who are able to do this, because I have a hard time keeping in touch with people in my own household. I am the exact opposite of this, and I acknowledge I'm preaching to myself here for a moment, but a loyal friend keeps in touch. I've really come to value this form of loyalty in the people that I respect, in the people around me, their ability to keep in touch with people, even though there's a long distance between them or it's been a long time since they've really spent a great deal of time with them in proximity with them. But loyalty really begins with this. It's not letting a relationship wither and die, but it's continuing to water it through reaching out, just extending kindness, and just saying, hey, I'm thinking about you, and I miss you. And it's something as simple as that. And again, I fancy myself as a loyal person, but I have to really look myself in the mirror and say, well, am I loyal? You know, am I loyal to these friendships that I've built over the years? Just a few weeks ago, and I've been on this kick lately of trying to do better in this particular area of my life. And just a few weeks ago, I reached out to an old high school friend. He was one of my best friends in life. And I love this guy. And every time we are together, and we do see each other from now and again, but every time we see each other, it's just, we're back. Like, the rapport is there. It's just, it's amazing. And some of you have friends like that. You know what that feels like. But I called my friend out of the blue, and it's been months since we've talked. And I could tell the sheer shock, you know, his voice. Just like, Jeremiah, like, you're calling for no reason? Like, just to chat? And he was so, you know, blessed and shocked, you know, because this is not normally who I am. And I realized at that point, okay, I do have a problem. You know, people are shocked when I actually reach out to say hello for no reason, no strings attached. And I was reminded from Scripture, and I was thinking about the Apostle Paul. And for all of you know, Paul's—he's an independent person. He bristles a little bit. He's got a little bit of hard edges. I mean, he was a Pharisee after all, so he's got that to deal with. But for all of those things, Paul was an incredible friend. He was an incredibly loyal friend. It's easy to reach out today because you just phone somebody, right? You just email somebody. You might write them a letter, and it's just simple. You just throw it in the mail. But back then, it was really, really difficult. And we have most of the New Testament because the Apostle Paul was willing to take the time to get out a piece of papyrus and, you know, a quill and dip it in ink. And it's a great cost to him. And it took a great deal of time. And I think a lot of times, you know, scriptures say that his eyes were so weak, he couldn't actually write it with his own hand. So other people were writing it for him as he was dictating it. It was a great deal of trouble and hassle for him to communicate. And yet, so many of the letters that we have in the New Testament are the Apostle Paul being loyal and reaching out to friends. And he's just keeping in touch. And he's staying in step with them. And he's saying, here's what's going on in my life. And let me encourage you in your life. And loyalty really begins simply with this. Just keeping in touch with people. And we see a biblical example of this in the Apostle Paul. It's amazing just how powerful the support and the encouragement of a friend can be. So a loyal friend, I think, first and foremost, just keeps in touch. Are you a person who does that? Are there a list of people that maybe you could stay more regularly in contact with, whether it's family or good friends from the past or people that you love? Are there people that you have become disconnected with because you just haven't stayed in touch with them? It's just as simple as reaching out. Be that kind of a friend. Be like the Apostle Paul. Don't be like me. I'm getting better. Second step is this. A loyal friend stands alongside. You know, it's amazing how powerful it is to get encouragement from a friend, but to have a friend who supports you, a good friend in times of adversity, wow. I mean, that is an incredible boost to your morale. Now, you could be facing off against all the powers, the darkness of Mordor, and if Sam Gamgee is by your side, you can deliver that ring to the place where it belongs. I was thinking of the story of Pee Wee Reese and Jackie Robinson. I was going to say Frankie Robinson for some reason. Jackie Robinson. Jackie Robinson was the first African-American baseball player to make it into the big leagues. And many of you know his story. Of course, he broke so many color barriers. And it was an incredibly difficult thing for him to do, a very hard journey. For him to face off against all that criticism and all the boos and all the people throwing things at him and all the just all the adversity that he experienced in the midst of that. And there's a movie that recently came out about this story. And one of his good friends was his white teammate, Pee Wee Reese. And Pee Wee Reese was shortstop. Jackie Robinson was second base. And they were good, good friends. It's well documented. Just how deep and how meaningful their friendship was. But there's one particular story when they were on a road trip in Cincinnati and the fans were particularly raucous and just, you know, just speaking all terrible things at Jackie Robinson, throwing things at him, and things were stirred up to this unreasonable level. And Pee Wee Reese walked over to his friend Jackie and he put his arm around his shoulder. And it's such a famous event that it's actually been made into a statue, and this is the statue commemorating this event and when it happened. And from those who were there, they say that he stood there for a moment with his arm around his friend, and the entire crowd just kind of calmed down to the point of silence. And they just kind of recognized in that moment that Pee Wee Reese was there supporting his friend, and they weren't going to change anything about what it was that Jackie Robinson had set out to do. And it was the support of his good friend. It's this powerful moment where people recognized what was happening and the power of the two of them against all odds, facing off against racism, that they were going to defeat it. And what an amazing story, what an amazing example of what it means to be a loyal friend. A loyal friend who stands alongside. And then there's the reverse of that experience. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, Paul describes what was for him a very lonely, a very isolating experience. He's on trial in Rome, and he says, "At my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them." And again, for all of Paul's strength, his independent spirit, his reliance upon the Lord, which he talks about later on in this passage, just the fact that his friends didn't show up to support him, didn't show up to come alongside him, it wounded him. It was difficult for him. He recognized the importance of having those who were by his side standing with him. It's so, so important. If you want to experience the benefit of loyal friends around you, you need to recognize when your friends are going through adversity, when they're going through difficult times, your support, just standing alongside, means more than anything. I know for me as a pastor, I go oftentimes to people's houses when tragic things happen. And, you know, there's all this pressure I feel on my way there to say some word that would bring peace or to be eloquent in the way that I pray and just to provide, you know, some wisdom or some element of pastoral, you know, presence that could appease whatever it is that is going on in the minds and the hearts of people who are experiencing tragedy. But what I've found over the years is that more than anything that I could say, just being there, just being present and standing alongside people, a shoulder to lean on, an embrace, means more than any words of wisdom that I could give. Just your presence means a great deal to those who are experiencing adversity and hardship. So a loyal friend stands alongside. Third, a loyal friend tells the truth. A loyal friend tells the truth. First thing I thought of was junior high. My friend Dustin and I were driving his father's precious sports car. And as we were driving, there were these girls that were driving in a Mazda Miata. And we were 16 right around that time. So girls in a convertible, you know, we were chasing after them. So we catch up to them and we pull over in the sidewalk. And my friend's like, "Hey, you want to race?" And so we take off and they're in front of us. And he goes to pass them. And then a car is coming the other way. And he veers off and hits this post, concrete post that's in the ground. Needless to say, his father's car is not doing so well as a result of that post hitting it. So we come back home and we've got our story straight and we just tell the biggest lie. And I was right there by my friend talking about this old lady who was walking a dog. It's always the old lady's fault. And then the dog got off the leash and went into the middle of the street and we had to swerve out of the way and we hit this post and, you know, it was kind of partial truth to it. But, you know, I was remembering that story and I was realizing it's really easy to lie for a friend. It's really easy to lie for a friend, but a true friend tells the truth, and not necessarily in this instance, but a true friend. Because I was being a true friend, I was supporting my friend, but here's what I mean by the truth. Proverbs 27 verse 6 says, "Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses." Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. This is one of those proverbs, if you're not careful, you can really distort this. Because I used to say things like, "Well, I'm just a blunt person. And I just like to tell people the truth. I like to be real with people. You know, I don't like to blow smoke. You know, I'm a truth teller." And that was my excuse for being a real jerk. I'm a truth teller. You know, wounds from a friend, right? That's a great way to pull scripture out of context and use it to defend yourself. But the truth of the matter is, some of the greatest friends that I've had in my life have been the people in moments of seriousness where they can come to me and they could say, "You know what? Your behavior or your action in this way or that way really hurt me. You know, or those words you spoke were really unwise." Or they corrected me in some way, shape, or form with the truth. the truth about what I was doing, the truth about a mistake that I had made, a truth that they probably didn't want to present to me because maybe it was embarrassing or maybe they would come across as hypocritical, but a truth that I needed to hear, that wasn't easy for me to hear. And I'm so grateful for those loyal friends who had the guts to come and confront me, because those have been the seasons of life in which I've grown the most. You know, where a friend came and spoke a truth to me because they cared about me, and it motivated me to say, you know what, I never want to hurt that person like this again, or I never want to be like that again. And that motivation went on to become a productive thing where I went through the process of soul searching and that inner work of really tweaking and working through some things that I had done wrong, some directions that I had gone that were wrong. And they were being honest and they were being vulnerable, and it had great effect on me. You know, words from a loyal friend can be trusted, as the proverb says, wounds from a friend can be trusted. An enemy multiplies kisses. And so oftentimes, that's the case. There may be people in your life who are flattering. There may be people in your life who always speak well of you, always speak kindly of you. But it takes a friend to really share a truth that oftentimes can hurt. And again, this doesn't give us license to criticize everyone or to say everything that comes to our mind. We have to use discernment. But if we want to be good friends, if we want to be loyal friends, we've got to be willing to take a risk, and we've got to be willing to be vulnerable and speak the truth to those that we love. Wounds from a friend can be trusted. And lastly, this, a loyal friend bears with weakness. A loyal friend bears with weakness. The closer you become to a person, the more you get to know them, the more you learn about their weaknesses. And we all have weaknesses. We're all very good at concealing them, but they don't stay hidden. And the more intimate that you become with a person, this is perhaps why we fear intimacy, the more these weaknesses really come out. The more these things that are hidden in the shadows really come out. And never is this more true than, I think, in a marriage relationship. But when you learn how to bear with one another mutually, it's beneficial. You know, when one falls down, the other is there to pick them up. When one is weak, the other is strong. It's like the great philosopher Rocky Balboa says, "She has gaps, I have gaps, we fill each other's gaps." He says it in a much more caveman voice, but needless to say, it's amazing how empowering this can be. Paul, he says this to the Romans in Romans 15, verse 1 through 2. He says, "We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good, to build them up." Now, here's the deal. Here's, I guess, my commentary on this. We are all strong in some areas, and we are all weak in other areas. And so for those of us who have a strength in one particular area, we can assist those who have a weakness, and vice versa. And we can work with one another on this. But you've got to surround yourself with people who can fill your gaps. If you find yourself with gaps, if you find yourself with weaknesses, shore those things up with friends, because there are enemies from the outside and there are enemies from within. And we all need friends, loyal friends, who can help bear with us in our weakness and help support us in our times of need. To do this, you need to employ patience with people. You need to be incredibly patient with people, because when somebody has a weakness or a flaw in their character, it takes a great deal of time to change those things. Especially, I've noticed, the older I get, you know, it's like the bigger the ship is to turn. And so we have to be patient with one another. I'm so grateful to be married to a patient person. And I hope that I am patient with her as we continue to discover each other's weaknesses and we continue to bear with one another's weaknesses. But you need patience for this. You need to be full of grace. Again, it's you point out a weakness, you point out a failure, and the chances are that thing's going to happen again and again and again. And you've got to be full of grace for one another, to be able to bear with each other's weaknesses. And then, of course, you need to learn the art of forgiveness, because there are repeat offenses and repeat examples of that weakness bearing itself out in the context of relationship. And so we need to practice forgiveness with one another. I spent some time counseling a young man several years back, and he was explaining to me through tears that he had a really difficult time with relationships, and he felt like he had no friends. And so what I wanted to do is just kind of help describe for him what to look for in friends, and then how to, and I think most importantly, how to be a friend. And so I was describing some of these things that we've talked about this morning, because I think one of the most important traits in a friend is loyalty. And if you want to have rich friendships and you want to have rich relationships, you need to be a loyal person. You need to demonstrate these things that we've talked about this morning. A loyal friend keeps in touch. A loyal friend stands alongside. A loyal friend tells the truth. A loyal friend bears with weakness. And I was thinking about these four things, and I was recognizing, you know, can we be loyal to God? You know, if we have a friendship with God, does this not apply in our relationship with Him as well? And first, a loyal friend keeps in touch. And how important is it? In fact, that's maybe the one thing that we can control in our relationship with God, is how many times we reach out to Him and how many times we say, God, here's what's going on in my life, and I want to create space in order for you to speak to me, either according to your word or in this moment, how you would speak to me through your spirit. Secondly, a loyal friend stands alongside. And God is our support, and God is there for us and with us, but we as well, and I think that we might, you know, push back on this. How can I support God? How can I stand alongside God? He doesn't need any help. You know, but He has placed us here as His ambassadors. He has asked us to bear witness to who He is to the world. So a loyal friend stands alongside. You're bearing witness to who God is. And third, a loyal friend tells the truth. And this it can be a difficult thing to kind of comprehend in the context of our relationship with God as well, but how many times do we just kind of mask or come to God with a facade? You know, we don't really get down to the reality of how we are feeling or what we are going through. You know, honesty in your relationship with God is an important thing, and I believe that Jesus taught of this time and time again. You know, don't just come before God with the prayers of the Pharisees, you know, with these pre-written prayers, these practiced prayers, these, you know, prayers that are not coming out of an authentic place in your heart. He said, pray to your Father as if He is your Father in heaven. Be honest, be open, be intimate, be vulnerable. A loyal friend tells the truth. And then this last one maybe is the hardest one to connect with a relationship with God, but a loyal friend bears with weakness. Well, God, He has no weakness. But here's the problem. We all have beefs with God. We all have issues with Him. His timing doesn't appear perfect. He didn't come through in this situation. You know, He could have rescued me out of that situation. What is His plan for my life? I don't understand this. I don't belong here. I deserve this and didn't get it. And, you know, we all have issues with God. And we need to be patient and understand His perfect will. And we need to really allow ourselves to be shaped by the things that we experience in this life to understand, you know, what it means to be reproved and understand what it means to go through pain and experience our weakness firsthand. And oftentimes, God allows those things to disciple us and to grow us. And we have to learn that. We have to understand that. And that's a process in which we are bearing with the perceived weaknesses of God. And so loyalty. Loyalty. And if you want to be a loyal person, have the guts to look at yourself in the mirror and say, am I keeping in touch? Am I a person who shares the hard truth? Do I come alongside and support those who are going through adversity? And am I a person who's patient and bears with the weaknesses of those who God has placed in my life? Let's learn to live a virtuous life. Let's learn to be loyal people. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful to you for the ways that you call us to a higher standard. And God, this sermon series is really about that. We are called to be perfect as you are perfect. And I think of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount and how he elevated things, how he lifted the bar so high that so many of us, we just think to ourselves, how can I ever attain that? But God, that's the journey. And God, we're here in this room, and God, maybe many of us would say, hey, I'm a basically loyal person. But I just pray that you would challenge us this morning to be the kind of friends that we would want in our life. God, that we would be those who reach out. God, those who keep the flame burning in our relationships. God, those who take the initiative. That we would stand alongside others who are in the midst of adversity. God, that we would be those who would be willing to tell the truth. God, if there's something that may be painful that needs to be shared, if there's something that's risky to be shared, God, give us the ability to have the guts to tell the truth and to do it with grace. God, finally, give us the grace to be able to bear with one another's weaknesses. God, to be patient with each other, to forgive each other, to extend grace to one another. And God, I pray that we would be loyal friends. And I pray that that would attract loyal friends in our lives. We thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.